Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers. Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and your tushies do too. Huggies Little Movers is their best-fitting diaper ever with its curved and stretchy fit. Babies, no matter what kind of butt you've got, you'll feel comfy while your mushy little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around. Huggies Little Movers are curved with up to 12-hour protection against leaks. Get your baby butt in Huggies' best-fitting diaper, Huggies Little Movers. We got you, baby.
Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we're getting some hot, no air conditioning in my car talk, and then we'll do a little tool-toony stuff, and we got lots of stuff. Provocative first half. First, I'll tell you about Pure Talk. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're paying way too much for the exact same coverage you can get with Pure Talk. Look, take a look at your bill. Take a look at the data usage. The average person uses less than 4 gigs a month, but big carriers, charge for unlimited data. Pure Talk saves you an average, and it saves the average person about $400 a year. Unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, all just $20 a month. If you go over the data usage, they will not charge you for it. So go to puretalkusa.com, enter the promo code ADAMPODCAST, save 50% off your first month. puretalkusa.com, promo code ADAMPODCAST, Pure Talk. Simply smarter wireless.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the host of Conversations with Coleman, Coleman Hughes. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, as far as he's concerned, ACB isn't a Supreme Court justice. It's just 3 grades he never got in school. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Your mandate, you get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
good.
We should have a conversation with Isaac at some point today. Remind me. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but not now.
Yeah.
Isaac. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isaac, I need you to hold tight.
What?
Hang on, is what I'm saying.
Sometimes.
Well, all right. Well, let's make it one of the times that you just kind of hang on. I got stuff I want to talk about. All right. Well, it sounds like a coin toss whether Isaac's going to hang with us, but I'll soldier on. Anyway, we'll circle back to Isaac.
No,
I will. I'm gonna do it, Isaac. Just give me a second.
No,
I realized my air conditioning is out in my modern car.
And how's that even possible?
I don't know. It's a brand new car. Something's up. The point is I have not driven this city with no air conditioning in a good 20 years.
And really brings the tool tune thing home, doesn't it?
Yes.
Windows up, windows down.
Yes.
You really have to make the call.
Yeah, I was driving down PCH the other day, and I had a tool tune. I was thinking of Gina. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'll surprise you with it, Max Pata. Irene Cara, What a Feeling.
Oh, yes.
From Fame. From
oh,
Fame.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was listening to that and I was like,
no, wait. No, What a Feeling is Flashdance. Fame is I'm going to live forever.
Oh
I'm going to live forever.
Brian, that was a test and you have failed.
That was a test and I failed. Well, I will say, Adam, Irene Cara, Flashdance, What a Feeling is a, it might be a Mount Rushmore tool tune. That was a wonderful pop song, but oh boy, do you want those windows up?
Does she say, but she says, I'm going to live forever in it, right? She says, what a feeling, and I'm going to live forever. But the flash.
No, I'm going to live forever is Fame.
Right.
Well, actually, I cannot definitively say.
She says, what a feeling. She keeps saying, what a feeling.
In Fame?
Right. And in Fame, she says, I'm going to live forever.
No, but
Fame.
I think she says what a feeling.
We're all on the same page.
No, but she says what a feeling over and over in the Fame song. Or did I fuck it up?
No, you switched up. This is what a feeling.
This is what a feeling. Not Fame, I'm gonna live forever.
Oh, all right.
You're flopping the box.
I got my Fames and my Flash Dances.
Yeah, I think it was my fault. Now, baby, look at me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I need that one then. I think that's the one.
So much better.
That's the one I was.
How dare you?
This is Flashdance.
This is Flashdance. All right, I need Fame.
Fame.
Now, are they both Tool tunes?
Yes.
Yes.
One is far better than the other, in my opinion. Fame's a fine song. It's a good pop song, but Flashdance is fucking transcendent.
Yeah.
The synth line in this cannot be beat.
Yeah.
This song's silly.
This was a big movie in my world. I saw this movie in Westwood. When I was in high school, and I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger standing out in front of the movie theater in a Hawaiian shirt.
That Mad Lib is amazing.
Oh.
The difference between this and Flashdance is the difference between Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson. They both won titles, but there's a big difference.
Okay. We like this one. Go ahead and sing, Gina. All our Mexican neighbors are like the busty gringos belting out another one.
Get the rest. I've got more in me. And you can't see. I can catch the
moon in my head. Yeah. All right, so this is I'm Gonna Live Forever.
That's right.
I'm Gonna Live. Yeah. Anyway, I was trying to figure out whether this was a Tool tune or not, but we're
it is.
Right. Of course it is.
It is.
Well,
everyone's windows just went up when I did that.
It could be just a good song. I don't know. Like I don't know.
You
it doesn't. It doesn't have that. It doesn't have that 80s, that mid late 80s. No, this is from 1980. Like this song is from
1980s song.
Yeah, but it's. This song was probably cut in 1979. I'm talking about 1988, where it gets really syntho hair band.
Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, you know, hollow pipe vibe.
All right. Well, anyway, I have no air, and I forgot what it was like to drive across this town with no air. It is weird and hot and dry. It's dry. It's a little windy and hot and dry out there. I forgot about driving without air. I forgot about talking on the phone and then rolling the window down. Mm-hmm. You can't hear a fucking thing that's on the other line. And everyone who's on the other line, everyone who's talking to you gets pissed off. They don't like that. The other thing I realized as I just parked it at the Home Depot for an hour is when you jump in your car. I haven't had no air for so long that I have this muscle memory of like I jump into the car and I go, Oh man, it is hot, and I reach for the air. It does not cool off. Let me float this theory too. We got a couple of calls up there. People with their shopping carts. You know that move where you're at the Home Depot or you're at the Target or the supermarket, and you bang someone's shopping cart or back into someone's shopping cart, and they get all flustered about it. Mm. It's weird. It's like, hey, bitch, this isn't your car. You know what I mean? This is a thing made out of tin that has 2 million miles on it that someone was pushing around this place. And by the way, these are big 4-foot long baskets on wheels that don't work that well. And the aisle is 6.5 feet wide. There's going to be
cumbersome.
There's going to be a little contact on occasion. You know what I mean? Like, if you ain't rubbing, you ain't shopping, like the great Dale Earnhardt once said. And I'm like, all I'm saying is, shit happens. You don't have to be surprised and put off. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? It's like, I'm shopping. You're shopping. This is a piece of shit. I have my own piece of shit. They made contact. I didn't fucking come over and kick in the side of your car door.
No, and you're absolutely right about that. The other one is when some floozy wanders off from her cart and goes and shops down the aisle, and I have the audacity to move her cart over.
Oh.
Again, they treat it like it's their property, that I'm stealing their dog.
It's like a fucking sovereign nation. Like they claim that cart in the name of Spain. And God forbid you got to get to the deli meat. So you back it out 3 feet when they've abandoned their cart. And
excuse
it's like,
me,
what
that? Someone's using that.
Excuse you. It's like, it's a weird anal thing with the shopping cart. You don't own that shopping cart. Yes, Brian.
You were talking about context the other day. Where is there more context than a place around, like filled with shopping carts?
Well, that's.
Like, are you shocked that there was another cart in your aisle?
That's the part. It's like where you bump into someone's cart and they're almost surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, they're put
taking
off.
It back. They're taking it back.
They're like, what's the meaning of this? Like, you're not stepping out of your shower and I rammed you with my shopping cart. Anyway, I also wonder, how do those people operate in real conditions? You know, situations at home, emergencies, like real shit goes down. You know, someone's in the kitchen at 4 a.m. I heard a window break. What do they do then? Because
they roll over in bed.
They're like DEFCON 2 because I hit their shopping cart. What the fuck happens when they're at home and the shit really goes down?
Well, you know what? Can I just, maybe I'm feeling extra jaded today, but I believe this with my whole heart. They live for that shit.
Yeah.
They live to be bumped.
They thrive off the interactions.
All right.
Has Jackass taught us nothing if not golf or shopping carts are indestructible?
That's
yes.
Right.
Well, the point is it's their shopping cart.
Right.
That's the key. So, I'm now driving around with no air conditioning, which is, it takes you back, man, and it makes you remember all that we had to do back in the day. Because, like I said, I never had a car growing up that had a shopping cart. Sorry, it had air conditioning.
A window.
Uh-huh. I am on my first car that either my family owned or that I owned that I was able to ride in that had air conditioning. I was probably 31 and a half. I made it to 30 with no air.
I wasn't that far behind you. The car I drove in high school was a Toyota Corona, the hatchback, the little weird thing. Mm-hmm. No air conditioning, of course. The first truck I bought, the Chevy the S10, no air conditioning. It wasn't until my second or third, that I got air conditioning. Yeah, it was a treat.
This is kind of a rich man, poor man, because you have several very expensive race cars that also do not have air conditioning.
They don't. You know, the thing that's funny about race cars, I was just thinking about, is when it does get very hot inside the race car, and it does get very hot inside the race car, you just wear this cool vest. You put this T-shirt on that has all these channels for water, liquid, all these veins like an astronaut would wear, woven into it. And then where the passenger seat would be sits a small, like, six-pack looking ice chest with a pump on it. And
awesome.
Those guys pump the cold stuff onto their torso when they race. I've not used one yet. Charles got me one. I haven't broken it out yet. I was awarded when I did my professional Trans Am race. I was rewarded the cool shirt, cool pass of the day, in which I was promised I would receive a cool shirt and never did. I held the shirt up, took a picture. They took it back and said, "We'll send you out the real one." I never got it.
Damn,
yeah, post office is moving slow because of COVID these days.
Good. 3.5 years ago. All right. The other thing, I was sitting around, I was watching the World Series last night, and I saw the Hummer commercial for the new Hummer, and I'd been talking about it on CarCast.
They're all electric now, right?
Yeah. The new Hummer is fucking spectacular. It is like 1,000 horsepower, you know, as measured by an electric motor. It has this weird all-wheel drive, sort of snake drive for like off serious all-terrain shit. It is the fucking future. I think it charges. I think you plug it in if you have the right charger at your house. You can get it, I think, 100 miles in like 10 minutes. So you can just top it off, which is what we don't need 300 miles in 11 hours. We need 100 miles in 10 minutes because that's when you're running late for work or the airport or something. And you're like, I just got to get to Burbank and back, you know, kind of thing. Yep. So this thing is state of the art and it looks strong with a 350 a 350-mile range and 11,500 foot-pounds of torque, 0 to 60 in the threes. 0 to 60 in the threes. 0 to 60 in the threes is supercar speed. This big truck, supercar speed. So when we were growing up, you take like take a cool car that we remember, exotic car from our childhood, Lamborghini Countach, Porsche Turbo, you know, the stuff that'd be on those 80s cool posters.
Yep.
0 to 60 or in 928, like from Risky Business, right? And and from Weird Science, I think, right? Porsche 928.
Oh, at the end when they
Right.
Ferris Bueller?
No. No, that was a Ferrari California Spider replica.
I do, Brian.
Anyway, the Porsche 928 probably did 0 to 60 in 4.9 or 5.1. The Turbo Porsche was probably 4.9, 5.1. The Countach was probably 5.2, 5.5, somewhere in there. Those exotic supercars, this thing's 0 to 60, 40% faster than those.
That sounds like one of those roller coasters that there's no slow, like, chink, chink, up with a dip. It just takes off.
Well,
like, that has to be very jarring if we're not used to it.
Electric cars are instant power. Oh, well, that was funny. John Krasinski once told me when he was, me, him, and Jimmy went to dinner a long time ago, and he explained to me that he had a Tesla back when Tesla was kind of a novelty, but he had to sell it because his wife, Emily Blunt, didn't like the way he drove it because he couldn't. It was that golf cart thing where you just off, on.
It lurches. Know.
Yeah, it lurches. Yeah, and then some. Like there's a setting, by the way, for the Tesla, or at least they had one, where you could mellow it out. He didn't know that.
Oh, really?
He just sold the car. But it's instant torque with the electric motors. Anyway, I don't know. Run the commercial. Run 30 seconds of commercial. It's a killer commercial. And
this is the 2-minute one that played in the World Series, but we'll just run the.
I'll just look at the 30-second one or whatever. But I'll
we'll get the 31. Hold on.
It doesn't matter. Just run 30 seconds of the 2-minute one, Max Pata. Doesn't matter. We don't even need to see the commercial. Here's my point. Well, there it is. All right. My point is this: Hummer, and this is what I always kind of talk about. You build it, and they will come. This car is selling like hotcakes. And Hummer, as I was trying to follow the trajectory of Hummer, what do you got, Max Pata?
So it started in 1983. An American Motors subsidiary called AM General won the $1.2 billion contract to develop a high-mobility, multi-purpose wheeled vehicle, otherwise known as the HMMWV, or called the Humvee.
Right. So they made a real military grade vehicle that guys like Schwarzenegger, all the cool guys, got their hands on.
Yeah, so when
if you see the original Hummers rolling around town, you still see them sometimes. They're gas guzzlers, of course, but they look like military vehicles. They look they're ready to take a rocket to the side.
Right.
Yeah. So when Schwarzenegger was filming Kindergarten Cop, he saw the Humvees and just went public saying, "I want a civilian version of this." So he had a big role in getting the civilian version out. So AM General released the Hummer in 92, and then that was bought by GM.
Right. So when did they do the Hummer 2, and then when did they discontinue?
So in 2002, they did the Hummer 2. A couple years later, they did the Hummer 3, and then they discontinued, and they were done as a company in 2010.
All right. So here's what I'm saying, and I say the same thing about Audi. So this works on a micro and a macro level. This will work on a human being, an individual level, and it'll work with a massive company. You know, when people do, it's like when people say, everyone thinks I'm whatever, late, or I'm always getting accused of being whatever, or you think I'm this way. My thing is like, stop doing that thing for 6 months. I bet I won't think that way anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just go ahead and change your behavior, and then people won't think of you that way. And Hummer starts off with their military vehicles. I'm not a Hummer expert. Then they make their street version, which is kind of a cool piece. But of course, the Hummer 2 and the Hummer 3 become pieces of junk. They become sort of novelty. I'll tell you how novel the Hummer 2 or possibly the 3 became. One of the things about the Humvee was, and it seems bizarre to design, but if you look at the Humvee military vehicle, you'll see a hose going from the center of the hub on the wheel where the lug nuts are down into the tire so that you could sit in the car out in the desert in the sand and you could put air in the tire or release air from the tire from inside the car as you sat there. Now, the logistics of figuring that one out because the wheel is turning. I looked into it once. It's interesting. But the point is when you're in sand, you want to let air out of the tire. You don't want, and when you go on the road, you want to put air in the tire. But the point is that was a really cool innovation they had. Central tire inflation system, yeah. They call it. But at some point, and you can find a picture of that, Max Fab, but then find a picture of the Hummer 3, because at some point at the end of its run, they had a plastic hubcap that was chromed that had the slot for the air hose, but there was no air hose. You couldn't do it. It was like a fake.
Purely ornamental.
Purely decorative. Yeah.
It was like a tip of the cap to the really cool thing that used to be on this car, but we're too cheap and we're cranking them out now. Anyway, then it turned into a joke. So by the time we got to 2010, no more Hummers. They joked themselves out of the business. The competition was too stiff. People started to realize what it was. The novelty had worn off. Fine. So they're gone for a decade. And then they come back. And so if you said to me a month ago, would you buy a Hummer? I'd go, fuck no. That's a piece of shit. Those Hummer 3s were junk. The Hummer 2 were joke. No, I wouldn't do that. That's for idiots. Then I see the commercial. I talk to Matt.
And you're like, does it have air conditioning?
Right. I talk to Matt, the motorator, about what this thing does. We talk about the specs. And I'm like, I'd fucking buy one of those. That's how fast. That's how fast it is. I'm not discriminating against Hummer. I don't like Hummer because they were making piles of shit last I checked. Now they're making evidently some super killer truck. And I want to get my name on the list. So that's how people work, everybody. Whatever your product is, go ahead and improve it and turn the page and people will come right back. That's how they have a short memory.
If you want a glimpse at an insider's perspective, not mine, of course, or an expert's perspective, excuse me, Christy, who worked in automotive marketing for a decade or more, we caught that commercial on TV, and she's like, "That's a great everything about that's great. It's a great pivot. It's a great you already have the brand. You have the brand recognition, the name Hummer. It's bringing a lot of new things, a lot of new interested clientele, as it were, like." That'd be an interesting commercial grade segment, corporate brand turnarounds. You know what I mean? I mentioned before on the show, like Banana Republic is a great example. Like they were that weird safari store and now they're like upscale workwear. Like it's possible.
Well, you know, that's a evolution even more than a turnaround. Hummer was in the tank. You know, Hummer was up in the tank. And now back, you know, so, yeah, Audi was in the tank for a long time. Now they're, you know, basically synonymous with cool quality. All right, Max Pata, you don't have to run it, but it's a cool spot. And they used which Led Zeppelin song? Run it and Dawson will tell us.
It's the immigrant song.
But it's the Karen O cover, right? Isn't it the one that was used?
Yeah, it sounds like some EDM remix or something.
Well, play it. We'll play it. I got to see this.
That one's in the 30-second spot.
Guys, go ahead. Just play the fucking thing. I don't care if it's 2 minutes or 30 seconds.
The Real Revolutionaries.
That's LeBron James doing the VO. So says Max Zapata.
The ones that changed the game forever. Understand his strength is never enough. Evolving.
I wonder how much he got paid for that.
Imagining.
Shit.
Seeing the world not as it is, but how it could be.
Here it is.
That's how true greatness is realized.
Good cover.
That is how you change the world.
They squander. A lot of times they clear a song and they just kind of squander it, but this one works. All right. Anyway, it's a killer commercial. It's a killer commercial.
Short movie.
It's really good, yeah.
I was disappointed when the World Series came back on. I was like, where's the rest of the Hummer show?
Get back to the action. I have to say it because, you know, on that note, I have to say this because it's movie related and I'd be remiss not to. That cover of song has existed for a while. It was, if not written for, used in the opening sequence to The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the movie a couple of years ago for with David Fincher. And it's one of the best opening title sequences ever. That song is you know, the star of the show.
All right.
Yeah, that version was Nine Inch Nails. Like, it was designed by Trent Reznor and the guys from Nine Inch Nails. And
because they did the soundtrack to all Dave Fincher's movies.
Right. Anyway, quick
car question. Mm. Whatever happened to the probe?
The Ford probe?
Yeah, that was like the mid-90s or whatever. I mean, all the cool people I knew in Kansas City had a probe. What happened to the probe?
Call an Uber X, you'll get a Ford Probe within five tries.
Was that a bad car, or what was up with that?
It was sort of modern. It was like the first modern car that Ford had made that really had a sort of modern styling. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a very good car. It was just it wasn't the boxy kind of school, you know, grandma's, you know, Lincoln or LTD or, you know, Ford Crown Vic. It was smoother and cooler. I thought they could have sold a lot more units if they did the probe with the big vein pinstripe that just went right over the hood and over the roof, give it a real phallic kind of a feel, the probe.
The girthy probe.
That's right. All right. So, got some calls up there. We got a Rich Banks song, huh? Mm. I don't know what the theme of this Rich Banks song is, but got
it's
an offering.
Flattering.
Got a got an offering from Rich Banks.
Yeah, and it's based off of a lot of your TV watching.
Mm. Oh, Love Boat.
Alone, just Ace and some scotch. He's tuned in for a vintage watch. A show with an old washed up cast. Pervy dudes and some tits and ass. Love Boat. The ship's doctor is out for fun.
Sure is.
Love Boat. He's worse than Weinstein, you better run. Ace rants on his podcast about it with Dr. Drew. And when his binge watch is done, it's an open laptop and some Pornhub. Yes, porn. Love Boat, scotch and
Yeah, Rich Banks, wonderful offering. There's one part he missed, the part where I take pictures. I pause the TV. I take pictures of Doc either hitting on a chick or hoisting a highball, and then I text it to Drew. And then Drew sends back some comment.
That's the second verse.
The doctor, I now think about it, the doctor would wait. It's funny because when everyone entered the ship, right, you had Julie McCoy there, like the cruise director, and she has a clipboard. And she's like, oh, you're on the Lido deck, 107. And everyone's kind of guiding people or moving luggage around. The doc is just trolling.
Just checking out.
Talent.
He's checking the talent out, man. And I know he has no job there. The reason he has no job is when a hot chick walks on, when one of the Lander sisters walks on, I'll walk you to your cabin personally. He doesn't even come back. There's no job for him.
Was there ever a nominal moment where the doctor performed a necessary medical procedure? Like, did he revive anyone? Or
well, there was yes, he's a real doctor, and of course there was the time when Barbie Benton had her two-timing boyfriend, whose eyes would wander to every beautiful woman on the ship, and she wanted him to marry her, and they did a trick where they said, he did a trick where he said he was dying, he couldn't marry her, and then she set up with Doc that he would get examined, and during the examination, Doc announced, "You have Lou Gehrig's disease. You're going to die, and there's no cure." And
then very special love boat.
And then Barbie Benton went, "All right, let's not be so hard on him. The joke's over." And he's like, "I'm serious. You have Lou Gehrig's disease." I'm
dying. He diagnosed Lou Gehrig's disease
on a ship.
Boat.
Imagine you're setting sail for 3 days to Puerto Vallarta, and on that ship, you found out you had Lou Gehrig's disease. That was the best episode ever. All right, let's see. Cameron's, I think, taking umbrage with my tweets. Cameron, 56.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, guy.
No, I'm not taking umbrage with the tweets. I'd like to commend you on the tweets.
Oh, well, look, to be fair to me, the screen said, like, has a problem with your tweets, and I always go right to the first person that has a problem, because we've had guys on hold for much longer than you. But anyway, so we'll make it fast now.
Okay. I just am glad to see the tweets, because it's pretty much ridiculous that we've fallen into this frog in boiling water thing where nobody jumps out. The masks were supposed to be for 2 weeks, and now they're just kind of a part of normal everyday life. I appreciate seeing the tweets to kind of highlight the fact that this is just ridiculous. Brian and Gina, hello. Good to see you.
How's it in South Carolina?
It's good. It's good. It's a little overcast today. It's 72. With regards to the masks and the COVID and all that, a lot of places we just don't bother with the mask.
The thing about the mask is it's a weird hill to die on. I don't really care about the mask. We're a little nuts with it outdoors, and we get a little crazy with it. Oh, the song Rich Banks and Mike Lynch, you should know. But I don't really care about the mask. To me, for instance, it's the school closings. That's insane. The fact that the schools are closed, or they were closing the beach, or they closed the parks, you know, or the basketball. Yes, Brian.
Can I ask Cameron, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, I want to ask you, I posited this a couple of months ago, I guess, and I really do believe this. Cameron, for those of us amongst the population who aren't buying the mask thing and aren't wearing the mask, why not, anti-maskers, why not just wear the mask for a month, 2 months, and if we don't have any improvement, then you can laugh at us forever. You've won. But why not just give it a shot and see if it works? Because from what I hear from the experts, I'm making air quotes, is the more people can get wearing masks in public, the better off we're going to be and the better off our numbers are going to be. Why not just shut all the experts up by wearing the mask for a couple of months?
Yes, Brian, I think I've heard you mention that kind of a sentiment before. The two or three problems with that. The first one is the mask is a big symbol of conformity. Okay.
God.
So we regarding.
So are pants, you idiot.
So are seatbelts.
I'm sorry?
So are seatbelts.
So are pants. So are clothes.
Well, regarding the fact that
I'll draw a distinction between mask and pants, but keep going.
Please.
Yeah, I mean, when you put a thing on your face to disguise, well, not disguise, but it's a symbol of conformity. You also mentioned that, the scientists, so forth. The science is far from saying that the masks are a big help. In Northern Europe, they're not using the masks. They work just fine. So the masks
France
are
and
not
Germany
necessarily
are
proven science. And number three, we've been doing the mask for quite some months now. So you say, well, why not do it for a month or two? Well, we're on board with that. Now we're 6-7 months down the road. So when does it end?
Yeah, well, the problem with the mask is the mask became sort of politicized, like hydrochloroquine did, you know.
Exactly.
And then whenever
it's
things get politicized,
it's political.
It doesn't mean they don't work. It doesn't mean a lot of experts don't think they don't work. The data on the masks is, if you're wearing the right mask and you're wearing it correctly, then it makes a difference. But the vast majority of the people don't wear the right mask and they don't wear it correctly. So it becomes sort of symbolic. But on the other hand, it couldn't hurt, as the Jewish doctor says. But I agree. This lockdown's gone long enough, and fuck everybody. I'm with you. And the mask, we put all our sort of eggs in the mask basket. Like if we just get more people to wear masks. Again, I've flown Southwest 100 times. There's masks around guys' chins. There's masks that are beat up. There's like wet mask and paper mask. You wear the right mask and you use it correctly. Like, what is it? The
M95? N95.
You wear the good stuff and you use it correctly. Yes. On the other hand, I don't care. I don't care about the mask unless someone wants to get weird about it, like you're in the parking lot of the Home Depot and they tell you to mask up. They can suck my dick. But like open the fucking schools and the restaurants. Open Disneyland. That's my thing.
Amen to that. And that's what we talked about before all of this, that you thought the Asian culture was nutty until you found out why they were wearing masks. And then you love them because N95 masks will protect you. Regular, you know, cloth masks will protect the people around you.
Maybe. They're right, the, but all so the people, new shit that's coming out is right. Like, no. All the stuff that's coming out now is lockdowns and masks and all the shit we were talking about doing. It's just not turning out to be effective. But, well, people wear masks. They wash their hands. I've yet to wash my hands during this pandemic.
Thanks, Cameron. I'm sorry I called you a name.
Oh, okay. That's a big deal.
I'm all excited.
Let's see. Disagrees. Well, also, a lot of people have invested a lot of time in a lot of protocols, and it's now weird to go back on those protocols or maybe realize that some of the activities were unnecessary. Like I have friends where I go, why don't we go out and get a steak in the parking lot of the Parkway Grill in Pasadena? And they go, I don't know. And I'm like, you don't know. What don't you know? What they're doing is they're coasting to a stop or something. Like they were so whipped up about it that it's hard to get them off it now. I've eaten in 1,000 parking lots and flown on 1,000 flights.
You need a parking lot floors anyway.
That's right.
Tarmac.
That's right. That's true. Ryan, you disagree with my theory about UFOs.
Yeah. So the other day, you were basically proposing that the people that aren't interested in the UFO talk are the narcissists. And I think it's the complete opposite. I think the UFO people are the narcissists for a couple reasons.
Oh, hold on. So, just to be clear, my theory was from age 7 to age 17, it was nonstop UFO talk. Are they out there? They're hiding it. We got to find out whether they're UFOs or not. People are obsessed with it. And now seems to be some credible evidence that there are UFOs and no one gives a shit. And the news doesn't give a shit and the people don't give a shit. And I wasn't saying because only the narcissists don't give a shit. I was just saying we're now so wrapped up in our own shit, we're no longer looking to the skies. Everyone is staring down at their phone rather than looking to the skies. And when we talked about UFOs, we talked about in every movie where they found a UFO, the president would be like, the people can't find out about this.
Right.
If they found out about this, society would break down because we had a society. We had a group of people to break down. Now we're all islands. We're all just little individuals. And the UFO, well, it doesn't have to do with me. I'm staring at my phone. That was my thought. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true as well. But at the same time, over the past 30, 40 years, as we've been able to have these high-definition cameras in our phones, the evidence, like you said, that there's evidence of UFOs, but I don't know if there's actually evidence of UFOs. There's evidence of videos and lights in the sky, but right, so UFO stands for unidentified flying object. I think there's lots of evidence for unidentified things.
Well, there's Navy pilots filming with their, you know, dashboard cams in their cockpit have video of things doing things no man-made vehicle could do. And they're clearly made. They're not organic. It's not a seagull. Right. And it's moving in ways that we couldn't construct. And I'll include the Chinese and the Soviets as well. So I don't know what conclusion you draw, but does seem like that's a UFO. Go ahead, Brian.
I've heard versions of this, which is we have so many cameras and so many everything at our disposal. Why isn't there more proof of this? My rebuttal that is anything alien or whatever that is capable of interstellar travel is certainly capable of cloaking themselves or having some sort of ability to not be detected. That would like, seem like it would be correlated.
I like what you're saying. Shapeshifters, lizard people.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
We invented a stealth fighter 30 years ago, you know?
Right, and we can't even get to another planet with the person. We can get to a moon with a right. Big fucking deal. Like, we can't even get to another planet.
Right, and, I'm you know, the stealth fighter wasn't Wonder Woman's plane, but we have cloaking now with our aircraft, with our puny little brain. So you do the math. Andres? Is that
Andreas?
It? Andreas?
Sorry. Andreas?
Andreas, sorry.
Unless it's a typo.
Well, I never know. Andreas?
Two Andreas.
Yeah, this is Andreas.
What's going on? 30, hey, San Francisco. Calling. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a structural engineer, and I talk to contractors a lot, and I gotta tell them, oh, we need to add blocking in this wall. And sometimes I tell them, then they don't do it. But if I tell them, or they don't do it right, if I tell them the purpose and what we're trying to do and why we're doing it, then and my success rate is much higher. And I think you have trouble using that strategy. I know I hear you complaining about talking to your workers, like, oh, get all the ladders, and then you hang up, and then you just leave. And I think you would have a higher success rate if you tell them the purpose of what you're trying to tell them.
Well, y'all, I was thinking a lot about this. I'd probably do a segment on it with Kalen at some point. But I move a lot. I put a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff put in the back of my car. Okay. And I say every single time, wipe it down. Wipe it down. It's stuff that's sitting outside, gardening tools and stuff like that. It's just dusty and weird, and it's weird and dusty. And I go, wipe it down. You got to wipe it down. And then you throw it in the back of my truck. So I was thinking about this earlier because I told Kalen to put a branch trimmer or something in the back of my truck, and I said, wipe it down. Now, I don't know why I have to say wipe it down every single time, but I do with everyone all the time.
You're like Jimmy Conway. Wipe it down.
And when I open the back of the truck to get it out, there's this huge, dusty, cobwebby thing that was on the handle part of it, and I thought, Kalen can't do this. But then I thought, why? What is that? Or what is it about? Well, Ryan, the intern, I gave him a coffee table. I said, wipe the coffee table down, put it in the back of the truck. When I got out of the truck, I turned it over into a huge cobweb on the bottom of it. Is it a concentration thing? Is it a thoroughness thing? It's wiped down some. It's never done. Always a circle back, like go back and do it again. What is it? How do you process wipe it down?
I will say in this case, I did wet a paper towel, and I wiped a lot of it down, although I did spend a significant amount of time accidentally getting the paper towel caught in the blade and then trying to kind of remove it and wipe it down. By the time you walked outside, I was like, oh, okay, I'll put it in the car. So a lot of time was spent accidentally doing that.
Well, Just go grab my phone, would you? Max, pat, just hand my phone. It's a picture. It's 1,000 pictures old. I'll just hold it up to you guys. But the body of the thing was wiped down.
Right.
But there's a string handle with like a pull cord or something on it, and that was just covered with cobwebs and dust. But I thought to myself, what is that thing? Chris, just bring the phone to me. Just tell Chris to bring me. Didn't I just tell him to bring the phone?
Does wipe it down imply a sort of fast and loose way as opposed to clean it off? I'm wondering if it's a semantics thing.
Yeah, what's the difference between wipe and clean? I'm curious.
I don't know.
Are you asking me?
Yeah. No, I'm genuinely curious.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm wondering if someone's like, here, Gina, you know, grab a plate, wipe it down, and give it to me. I would spend less time on it than grab a plate, clean it off, give it to me. Like, maybe it's a semantics thing. I'm just trying to answer
this
question.
Now, if people... Okay, there's a couple things going on. A, people don't care that much.
Okay.
Yep, I agree.
It's always my $10,000 rule. If I said to you, wipe that thing down, if I fucking pull that thing out and there's dust or cobwebs on it, I will hold the $10,000 I was going to pay you. Well, then everyone would
think
nail it,
that.
Right?
Sure. Think about it all the time.
Okay. Well, if that's possible, I mean, if you have that in you.
That's on the table.
Well,
it can be done.
We know you can potentially do it, right? That's
how
what I'm
motivated
saying.
Motivated are you?
Right. And everyone does it, or everyone under 30 does it, or something. There's some sort of new, there's kind of a new thing with that. All right, I'll.
Or what if you told him, oh, wipe it down because I'm not going to have time to clean it later.
I wish a couple extra words would work. People just don't look. We got cobwebs in the front, right? Like, how many cobweb conversations have I had? How many rinse the coffee mug out conversations? People just don't do what you ask them to do. It doesn't make you a bad person, but it's not going to be a good life for you.
To Ryan's point, there's stuff, a lot of like little things in the newsroom that aren't foreign to me that mm-hmm. I work with every day. Bells, whistles, pots. I do all my own. I run my own board, which is sounds yeah. hilarious, but now it's secondhand. And when I'm given like a, oh, we don't do that anymore, do it this way, I have to say, why? Why?
Well,
and that to them, that feels like pushback. And I'm sorry, but if I don't know, I can't change it in that respect.
You and I are exactly the same like that. I ask why all the time when it comes to instructions, or used to anyway, when I got a lot more instructions. And it was always like, well, why? I'm not challenging you. I want to know the whole story. I want to know where this goes.
Right, and I'll be the first to say, I'm not known for being able to follow instructions to a T. So I'm trying to help myself.
Well, I guess I have no idea what the phenomenon is, but I experience it a lot. And when you build and when you do stuff, you just get it a lot. Everyone does it. I've told every time I say, wipe it down, then put it in the car. When I'm pulling out of the car, I'll see the place you didn't wipe down. So I think the moral of the story is I think we all have this. Okay, here's the deal. It's my $10,000 rule. One mode, not I will do it this way if there's $10,000, and I will do it that way if there isn't $10,000. But better yet, just have one mode, and that one mode is thorough and done right, and that's it. So what happens is we start parsing it off into, well, there's shit that's important, and that shit I concentrate on and I do my best with it, and then there's other shit that I don't deem as important, so you get a weaker version of me for that task. Mm-hmm. And the people that are fucking excellent, like the people I work with who just kill it and crush it and kick ass, just one mode, just one. They just have one fucking mode. Like that's kind of how Jimmy Kimmel is. Jimmy's like, it doesn't matter if he's writing a fucking greeting card for an intern or preparing for the Oscars. It's like the one mode. He has the best. He wants the best shit he can have. And then you just become kind of synonymous with excellence. And the thing that people notice the most is when you're really thorough about the shit most people don't give a shit about. That's actually the shit everyone gives a shit about. Everyone's good at that. You know what I mean? It's like it's the little stuff. And it's about being present. I know it sounds like I'm talking to you, Ken. I'm talking to everyone. You got to be present. You have to be present. If you're not present, so you'll be present for the important shit, right? You'll be present. So it's like you're doing something fine or some finish or something that's, you know, intricate or something. You'll be super present for that.
You're having sex in your boss's bed.
Right. You got to be there.
Very present.
Strive for excellence.
But if you have a switch where like, well, this is important and this isn't. First off, everything somebody who's paying you tells you to do is important. Treat it that way. Treat it as everything. Anytime the boss or anyone above you or anyone is signing your check, there are no minuscule things for that person. Anything they say, treat it all is exactly the same. Treat whatever the most intricate task would be with the most mundane tasks. Treat them all the same. All right.
You know who embodies that? The person we know who embodies that? AV Ed. He comes over, you know, if I need something done or he installed a new TV for me last week and charged me some nominal fee, but I assume he does a great job. I's are dotted, T's are crossed. It's always as though a super high-end professional job was done.
I know. He came to my house. Gary just popped his head in because he came to my house. I'm trying to set up my Apple TV. I'm not going to throw AVN under the bus. But when he was working on the TV or doing what he did, some nominal stuff, he turned the sound all the way down. And it's a brand new TV set, a brand new Apple. I don't know what the fuck I am. And I turn the Apple thing on and there was no sound. I don't have a remote with like the sound thing on the front. And I had to call Gary last night and I was like, the sound doesn't work. I can see the shows, but it's muted. There's no sound. He's putting me all these different settings and stuff. And at a certain point, I find the thing. So AV Ed came in and turned my sound down and then left. And then Gary screamed when I walked in, what kind of animal turns a man's TV set down and then leaves? That was 2 hours ago, which is fascinating.
It feels so good to have my point shit on.
But we love AV. No, we love AV Ed. No, AV Ed is meticulous. He kicks his shoes off when he comes in your house. He does what you say. He did turn my sound up. Let me hit Simply Safe. Break-ins are on the rise during the holidays. So Simply Safe is having a huge holiday sale. 30% off any system and a free security camera. Whether you're traveling or staying put this holiday season, check out the 30% plus free security camera. Whether you're traveling or staying put this holiday season, check out the 30% off plus free security camera deal before this week ends. I use Simply Safe. Most everyone here uses Simply Safe. You can use it as a renter as well. Use it on your apartment or rented home. Batteries last up to 10 years, peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. Order your customizable set online. Do it just as many door openings and windows and motion detectors as you need. Get it done and get it done with Simply Safe. Right, Dawson?
Get 30% off Simply Safe plus a free security camera today by visiting simplysafe.com/Adam. Go today. This deal is this week only. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Simplysafe.com/Adam.
All right. Quick break. We come back with the news right after this.
Real men are an endangered species. Shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RedmanUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Corolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card, a place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenmanUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life, and get ready because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man.
Give me the news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I have been waiting with bated breath to make this announcement for months, possibly a year, because we finally got the big sentence handed down. Keith Raniere, the controversial leader of Nexium, the sex cult we got introduced to last year, was finally sentenced on Tuesday to 120 years in prison for sex trafficking and fraud. And I have watched all The Vow. That's the series about it. There's another one starting. I can't wait.
Is this the one with the actress? The real life actress?
Allison Mack. Yes.
Yes.
From Smallville. A Brooklyn federal court judge handed down the sentence after 15 former members of the group faced Raniere in court, detailing the abuse they experienced as members of his cult. And along with what amounts to a life sentence, Raniere was hit with a $1.75 million fine for his wrongdoing. They found it to be cruel, perverse, and extremely serious.
Hey, Claire Bronfman, I'm not a big fan of criminals. And And your garden variety rapist, I got no time for. But a tip of the cap to a guy who can form a cult, a sex cult, especially.
Oh, there's a skill there for sure.
That guy don't take a lot of naps, you know.
That's true. He takes a lot of walks.
He's what we call a cracker jack. You know, he gets things. And that guy would have wiped down that hedge trimmer thoroughly.
He would have had somebody do it.
He would have had one of his young sex slaves do it.
He calls himself, you're right.
I got a little room carved out for guys who start sex cults and Ponzi schemes.
Well, he did both.
You know?
There's a cult of personality there for sure.
Yeah, but they ain't lazy. They got a motor.
No. Oh!
That's what I'm saying.
No, you're right. He did both of those things, so this might be your new guy. He and he's kind of nebbish looking.
Oh, he started a Ponzi scheme too?
Okay, so first he was in this other business, and I forgot what it's called, but it's essentially a multi-level marketing scheme. And then he abandoned that. He made millions, and then it went broke because it's a Ponzi scheme. And then he started Nexium, which was supposed to be this self-help workshop, but it ended up, so under Nexium, I watch way too much of this show. Under Nexium, there's something called DOS.
He diversified.
He did. DOS. And then there's a male version that DOS is for women. The other one's for men. And then in the DOS women only, that's where the slave and master shit started. That's when the women got branded. And if you look at it from one angle, it's Alice and Mac's initials. And if you look at it from another angle, it's Keith Raniere's initials.
Branded
like, next to their vaginas.
Like they were in a black branded fraternity?
Yes.
Yep.
Like they got stripped, they got blindfolded, and then they had to get on this table, and someone had like a cauterizing iron, and they branded each one of them, and then one had to get had to perform oral sex on this other girl, and then no one knew where they were, and no, you can't talk about it, and you can't say who's your slave and who's your master. You have to do everything the master says, and you have to give them collateral, which is where the bribery or the blackmail comes in. So, like, and we've heard things similar to this in foreign
politics. This is a cruel travesty that I'm going to beat off to later. Okay, now normally. Okay. Yeah. I do not masturbate to cruel travesties, but I'm going to make an exception.
You take very little pleasure.
That's right. Well, it's fleeting. Yes.
So say I was your master and you agree to do this. And I'm like, oh, it's your personal growth you're going to feel is unbelievable. You're not even. But I am going to need something from you to test your commitment. So let's go in this other room. Show me your boobs. We'll do a full portrait shot. That'll be part of your collateral. That's for starters. Now tell me shit about your family. Tell me shit about your husband. Tell me everything you got. That's my collateral. That's how I know you're really in this for life. Because if you're not, then all this stuff gets released. So that was a part of it. These exorbitant, of course, membership fees. All the girls were on a calorie restrictive diet and they had to be like, yes, master, I only had 14 calories for breakfast. Yes, master. So all the women were just like, these just frail and imploding on themselves. And Claire Bronfman, who is one of the heiresses to the Seagram's fortune, was a big, huge backer in this. I actually think both the sisters, Claire and Sarah, but for some reason, I don't know why, Claire got sentenced. I don't know about Sarah. She got sentenced to nearly 7 years in prison for funding all of these lawsuits. So any defectors, they would hammer and hammer and hammer until those people had nothing left, just bankrupting them in legal cases.
Was this all East Coast or East and West Coast?
This was in Albany, New York. It started in Albany. This is all from memory because the show was amazing. And then it went to Vancouver. And there was one in California.
The Seagram's thing is Canadian, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, that might be where the Vancouver connection is. I'm not sure, but he finally got his comeuppance. Do you like the classic shows, Adam? Do you know who Catherine Oxenberg is?
Yeah, Catherine Oxenberg was one of those beautiful, big-haired girls from like Dynasty, Falcon Crest, or those types of shows.
Well, I think it
Dallas?
Was Dynasty. I think Dynasty. It was Dynasty.
Yeah, it was all about how big your hair was.
Correct. I was how sparkly your jewels were.
I was talking to Dr. Drew about this the other day. In the 70s, it was how big your hair was, but it was how wide your hair was. It had to go down and be wide. In the 80s, it got big and tall. It went up. So
the bangs went straight up like a waterfall.
Yeah, it was like big hair from the 80s and big hair from the 90s were different big hair, men and women. In the 70s, there's the Keith Partridge, David Cassidy.
The side wave.
Feathered kind of down. And then later on, it started going up.
Yes.
Hence the band, the Romantics. But yes, that's Catherine right. Oxenberg was a beauty in the...
She's held it together well.
She looks very pretty.
In the up hair era of Dynasty or Falcon Crest or whatever.
And she still looks good. But so her daughter, India, she got her involved in this self-help workshop. And India went full force, and she was one of the last choppers out of Nam here, because she stuck by Keith and she wouldn't return her mother's calls, and it was a whole thing, and half the show was about them. And I guess she's finally out. Everyone's finally out because he's going to prison for 120 years. And just a stocky sort of teapot looking real nebbish a guy. And
it's
somehow,
always the Koreshes of the world. You know what I mean? It's always the Jim Joneses of the world.
But that's the thing. There he is. And that's when he had his long hair. They even have the Dalai Lama meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
I bet he cleans up. But
he's short. He's very short and stocky. Well, show the feathered hair pictures.
The whole thing about this stuff is you got to fly under the radar if you're starting a cult. You can't go in there looking like Dolph Lundgren. You know what I mean? You're drawing too many eyeballs. It's always the person you least expect. That's how they roll. How does the vagina branding go? For the new boyfriend. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, Coachella, 2014. I was high.
That was a big part of the story. So Sarah Edmondson, I think her name is, she's one of the big stars of the series. And her husband, Nippy, which I don't know what that's short for, what the nickname is. He is also in the cult, but he's in the men's cult. And you were supposed to keep this from everyone. And she's like, how am I going to keep this from my husband seeing this branding next to my vagina? Like, just do your best. Try. And he finally saw it. He freaked out, as anyone would. And now you're literally branded for life. With this dude's initials on your hoo-ha.
And you're not even in the NFL.
That's correct.
This is brutal.
Nothing to show for it.
Nothing to show for it. All right. Let me hit Geico real quick, and we'll move on to the next one. You want to save a bunch of money on your car insurance? You go with Geico. Go to geico.com. Spend about 15 minutes. See just how much you could be saving, 15% or more. On your auto insurance, when you go to Geico, that is geico.com. Find out just how much you could be saving at Geico. What else, Gina?
Well, as you know by now, the Dodgers beat the Rays in the World Series Tuesday night, but not before Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner was removed from the game during the eighth inning, which everybody found very odd, very mysterious. He was just out, and it's not like he was doing a bad job. After the game, it was announced that Turner had tested positive for COVID-19, and they just pulled him. It was MLB's first positive test of the playoffs. Turner was immediately removed from the game once the positive test results were known in the middle of the game. So he had tested the day before,
That's weird.
It came back inconclusive in the second inning. And that was according to ESPN. Once the lab completed running a test from Tuesday, MLB was informed Turner tested positive and immediately was taken out of the game. He came back on the field afterward to take a picture with the team, hold the trophy, take pictures with fans. He said he's asymptomatic, felt fine, no mask. And, I think it was a cover your ass situation by the MLB.
I had heard that they've discovered it in, I think, the third inning. But,
He's just too hot.
It's not super.
He was too hot.
World Series. Yeah, I think you can turn your head the other way. Also, baseball is the worst for COVID because it's the biggest spitting sport there is. The guys are constantly do that weird roll the saliva and it out thing. It's
obnoxious. Aerosol.
Oh yeah, I mean you're just doing. They literally sit in the dugout. So, baseball is a sport that you have a lot of downtime and there's a lot of what ifs and kind of superstition and there's a lot of stuff in baseball. And I played football and I played baseball, and I can tell you in baseball, you just sit in the dugout and you think a lot, like who's going to pitch. I hope he throws me fastballs. I hope this next pitch is a fastball and not a breaking. There's a lot of weird stuff, and it's a super high pressure thing. Like you, especially obviously in the World Series. Like you picture
hurry up and wait.
You picture yourself sitting and standing in center field and like a towering fly ball going back, and are you going to muff it or whatever? And so if you take creatures and you just sit them alone with these really intense feelings, but tell them sit there and do nothing, they'll start developing little idiosyncratic tics and things.
Like picking on themselves.
Yeah, like that's why they chew all the seeds and chew all the gum. And then they develop this weird little spit thing where they just do this thing. And a lot of them do it, and they don't do it in any other sports because all other sports – you couldn't do it in hockey. You're like on the ice and a crazy Russian guy's just checked you into the boards. So they all have this weird spittle thing. The Dodger who does the most of the spittling is he's good looking. He's got a beard. I'm trying to think. He's a real matinee idol kind of guy. Not Cody Bellinger, but the other player. He's in the I haven't followed it that close. But he's a good looking bearded guy. He just sits there and does it. It's not even spitting. It's just like
a weird
little
stream.
Yeah, it's like a little gleek or something.
Jock Peterson?
I don't think it's Jock.
I think you're talking about Taylor.
Taylor? Yeah, the guy's black bearded guy.
Let's see.
He does that. He's nice looking, and then he spits all over you.
Gina's into sports all of a sudden.
I would think that I got into sports with Edelman.
Oh, Edelman?
Yeah. And Garoppolo. I don't even know what teams they're on.
Yeah.
So, and I think because it was Edelman was on Jeopardy. That's how But you'd think baseball is the best because when you're on the field, you're alone.
Yeah, you are. But then everyone piles into the dugout and starts spitting on each other.
Yeah, makes sense. So Newark, New Jersey Mayor Mayor Baraka has announced more measures to address their second wave of the pandemic in Newark. They're going on a bit of a lockdown again. They are closing non-essential businesses nightly at 8, so it's a curfew, requiring restaurants and eateries to end dine-in as they were doing, requiring beauty salons, nail salons, that kind of thing to be open by appointment only. Gyms and health clubs have to close for a half hour each hour for sanitizing. That goes into effect now, and they'll reassess on November 10th. Germany and France both announced a new lockdown, but this is interesting and something I think you'd at least find to be somewhat of a fair compromise. Closing businesses, doing the lockdown thing again, except for schools. Schools will remain open.
Well, kids aren't really affected by this. So it's the last place we should be locking down. And by the way, the schools that are open here in the United States, it's just, has anyone heard of a school kid dying from this thing or anything?
No.
School?
No.
Okay.
I've been paying that close attention, but no, I've not heard about that.
Well, you wouldn't need to pay attention if that shit happened.
That's a good point.
That'd be CNN. That'd be a fucking birthday and Christmas and Thanksgiving for CNN if some 9-year-old just died from COVID at school. There are a couple teachers that have, but they didn't get it at school. They got it in different places. So like they'll run the headline, like 3 teachers die of COVID. Yeah, they're teachers, and like just like plumbers could die of COVID, but not while they were cleaning a sink or
quick
a drain.
About
sorry.
That. I would love to get your thoughts on this. The only other thing that seems to be different than what we're doing is in Germany and France, schools can remain open and you can go to work, but people can also go to visit sick people at, you know, home care, nursing homes, that sort of thing. Do you think that's because maybe Europeans have a different idea of the elderly? Like they have more of a reverence? A
kindling?
Be
or
nice.
An appreciation for quality of life, because I can tell you people in that situation right now have no quality of life.
Oh, I mean, you're dying and all you want to do is say goodbye to your family and you can't physically see him. Did we find the guy with the beard, Max Banna?
I thought we already figured it out.
We didn't figure it out.
It could be Chris Taylor.
But Gina wants to see a fucking picture of the guy with the beard,
oh,
right?
Why?
Well, throw a bone.
So I just was wondering if it was a cultural thing that maybe they are like, look, we're weighing our liability and our assets here, and it's important for these people to see their families.
I concur with that conclusion. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Ooh,
all right.
We're
going to select a picture select a picture where he looks handsome, and then we'll have made our point and we can get on with our lives. Let me tell you about Simply Safe, right? Simply Safe. Home security. Take care of business with Simply Safe. Go to Simply Safe. Two eyes. SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right. Picture. That guy.
He's loading it. Just one sec.
Okay. Well, I've probably spent too much time on it. But Gina, this guy's cute.
I'll look him up.
He spits a lot, but he's cute.
No problem.
All right. All right. Well, we don't need to see the guy. He's there he is.
Yes, there he is. Worth it.
It's a good looking dude, right?
Sure, very. Yeah.
Fucking Ryan Reynolds in a Dodgers jersey.
Dodgers helmet.
But he does the spittle move. Always a turnoff. All right. We're going to take a break. I'm going to talk to Coleman Hughes, and we'll do that right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.